This week's assignment was to pick one of Jesus' parables and make some comments on it and tell what it means to you. And one parable I like is the parable of the vine growers in Mark 12. It says, And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a wall around it, and dug a vat under the wine press and built a tower, and rented it out to vine growers, and went on a journey. At the harvest time, he sent a slave to the vine growers in order to receive some of the produce of the vineyard from the vine growers. They took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent them another slave, and they wounded him in the head and treated him shamefully. And he sent in another, and that one they killed, and so with many others, beating some and killing others. He had one more to send, a beloved son. He sent him last of all to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those vine growers said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." They took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine growers and will give the vineyard to others. I think that's kind of showing what happened with the Jews. Like, he sent them a bunch of prophets and they wouldn't listen to him. They killed him and beat him up. Ahab, he persecuted Elijah really bad. And then when he sent his son, they actually killed him. They didn't respect him at all.
I like the parable in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And that kind of shows how the kingdom of heaven is of so much value that it's worth giving up everything else to seek after. Oftentimes, when we have something valuable, like maybe the foundation that our parents gave us or things we've learned from the brothers, we just kind of take that for granted and don't really care for it. But instead, we should make the best of it and not just throw it away and just do like what this guy did, gave up everything to pursue that.
I got the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. It says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." And I want to be like that Samaritan, just help anyone who is in trouble and or who needs things, no matter who they are or what kind of person they are.
I thought about the parable where Jesus talks about the master who wished to settle accounts with his slaves, and the slave owed him a great debt, and the master wanted him to repay, and the slave pled with him because there was no way he could repay right then. He had to work hard to repay the whatever he owed, and so the master had mercy on him and forgave him and just allowed him to go. And then he went out and took and forced his fellow servant to repay. And then when the master heard about that, he said, "No, there's no way he could forgive him." Because he didn't forgive his fellow slave. And so I thought about how that's just such a clear picture that we need to forgive those around us on earth that might owe us a little bit, and so that we can be forgiving. Just a real blessing.
I really like this parable here in Matthew 21, parable of the two sons. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in the vineyard." And he answered, "I will not." But afterwards he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing, and he answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you." And I think that one son, he wanted to get, you know, he wanted to get the approval of his father, and he said, made it look right there like he was going to go do it. He said, "Yeah, I'll go." But then, really, he was just trying to get the approval of his father. And the other son, his father told him to do that, and he was like, "Why are you telling me to do that? You know, I'm not going to do it." But then he got to thinking about it, how he, you know, talked to his father probably, and so then he went and did it. So we need to be like the son who actually did the job his father told.
I got the parable of the tares among wheat in Matthew 13, where there's a man that sowed wheat in a field, then when he was asleep, the enemy came and sowed tares among it. But when they sprouted, then they could see the tares and the wheat. But they waited till harvest time and then they took the tares and burnt them and then saved the wheat. And that's like the people on earth, and we need to make sure we're the wheat and not the tares.
Parable of the mustard seed is like the kingdom of heaven, and it grows by faith.
I got some verses here in Matthew 24, verse 32. "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." And where it says there, "heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away," I like how it's just giving us, comparing, showing us how great his words are, and comparing it with heaven, how they're greater than heaven and earth.